Nomophobia, believe it or not, here it is. This is what they're considering. It's the fear of being out of cell reception. No cell coverage. It's a real phobia that they're considering. All right. So some of you are like, really? How about this? Ecclesiophobia. Ecclesiophobia. It's a fear of church. Some of you are like, yeah, I've been a long time since I've been in this church, and here you are today, and you're like, you're just confirming my worst fears, Pastor. Ecclesiophobia. And then here's the last one, and some would say there is one fear to rule them all, and it's this last one, xenophobia. You know what that is? Nope, but it's not even close. comes from the Greek word xenos, and it means the different or the other or the unknown, the fear of the unknown, xenophobia. We have these fears. And this is what Scrooge was talking about, that fear of the unknown, the fear of the future. I don't know what it is. And some of us today, we're on the precipice of a brand new year, and there's a lot of fear. Think back this last year, what we lived through. If somebody would have told you on December 31st, 2016, right, that there was going to be a mass shooting in Las Vegas, there would be a massacre in a church in Texas, there'd be three hurricanes that would ravage Texas, Florida, and Puerto Rico. If there was going to be this hashtag Me Too movement because sexual harassment's gotten out of control. I mean, you start going through, how many of us would have said, please, let's just, no, I don't want to go there, right? This last year has been just crazy. Then you start factoring in what's going on geopolitically. I mean, Russia is in the news everywhere, right? Russia meddling. Meddling with what? Elections, and Russia meddling with this. Or how about North Korea and Rocket Man, right? A year ago, we would never even thought of putting those two phrases together. Here we are, heading into a new year, and the tensions are high. So there's a lot of fears that are floating around. Paul talked about New Year's resolutions. You know, it's like, you're right, we make them to break them, I think. So I don't want to talk about New Year's resolutions today. We want to talk about how do we move confidently into 2018. How can we live confidently despite the fear, despite the unknown, despite the uncertainty? How can we move with confidence? And I'll tell you right up front, here's God's remedy. This is in your notes, I think. God's remedy is this. Oh, go. Yeah, you can leave it. That's fine. there's stuff I don't have on the screen that's in your notes, but God's remedy is simply this. You got to learn to live with Jesus. It's just abiding with Christ, living with Jesus. That's his antidote. That's his remedy. It should be like the top thing in your notes. We're going to look at the Psalms today and begin to unpack, because the Psalms have been just kind of a bastion of encouragement for people throughout the ages. I mean, the stuff we're going to read today, the truths that we're going to read today are over 4,000 years old, some of them. Think about that. And they've encouraged generations of the saints, the faithful. And so God's remedy is for us just to trust him, to live with him. And so from Psalm 23, right, the 23rd Psalm, verse 4, you probably have this memorized, but let's read it together. This is how the New King James Version. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are, you're what? That was really weak. We got to that spot. It's like, no, for you are with me, right? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I mean, one of the great declarations of the 23rd Psalm is that no matter what you're going through, God's with you. He's your Lord. He's your protector. He's your provider. This is an updated translation of the Living Bible. Even when walking through the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me, guarding, guiding all the way. Same idea. I like the New King James a little better on that, but Isaiah says this, Isaiah 41:10, read this with me. So do not fear, for I am where? I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Who is the declaration of God's promise? Who is the one who is going to be with us? Is it some kind of abstract ideology? Some distant, far, remote God? No, we believe it is Jesus Christ. And Jesus made this follow-up declaration in Matthew, right? Matthew 28:20. And surely I am what? Okay, let's do this again because it's getting quiet, all right? It's on the screen. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I'm with you always to the very end of the age. And then the New Testament writer in Hebrews takes the Old Testament truths and says, this is relevant and pertinent for you. Hebrews 13:5. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Why? Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Listen, if we could get our mind around these truths, that God is with us, that he wants to walk through life with us, that our Christian faith is just not a collection of abstract truths. It's not even a bunch of religious duties. It's walking in relationship with the living God in an interdependent, dynamic relationship. What a difference that would make. And I think some of us, we need to have a Jacob moment. If you go back to the Old Testament, remember Jacob? Isaac had the two sons, Jacob and Esau. Jacob steals Esau's birthright. And then under the guise of getting him out of Dodge, Jacob's mother says, why don't you go find a wife? And she sends him to his uncle Laban, right? And on his journey, Jacob lays down, has a good snooze, which I know about snoozes the last few days. I've been taking some naps. But I never had a dream like what Jacob had. And Jacob, while he's taking a nap, he has this vision. And God speaks to him and says, this is what I'm going to do for the children of Israel. This is what's going to happen. And Jacob, in this dream, he sees the stairway connecting heaven and earth, and angels moving between heaven and earth, up and down the stairway. Remember this story? Yeah. If you haven't, it's in the Bible. It's pretty fascinating. You can read that. And and this is what he declares when he wakes up, right? Genesis 28:15, he says, I am with you. This is God speaking to Jacob. I am with you, and I will watch over you wherever you go. Wow. What a great epiphany. Wouldn't that be great? God's saying those same words to you today. And then here's what Jacob says when he wakes up. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought what? Surely the Lord is where? In this place. And what? I was not aware of it. Isn't that our problem? We're walking through life and surely the Lord is in this place. We're just not aware of it. We need to have that Jacob moment where we have the realization that God is here. He's right here, right now, and he wants to walk with you through life. He wants to do life with you. A.W. Tozer said this. He said, we are not for one small division of a moment outside the circle of God's presence, but we know it not. That is our trouble. Men and women do not know if God is here. What a difference it would make if they knew, right? What a difference it would make. And we see in the Christmas Carol when Ebenezer Scrooge has had the encounter with the ghosts of past, present, and future, and he realizes, wow, if this is real and this is true, it's going to make a difference in my life. And he makes the declaration. I think I put that up here. He says this. Some of you may remember the visual from the movie. I'll honor Christmas in my heart, and I'll try to keep it all the year. I'll live it in the past, present, and the future. The spirits of all three shall strive within me. I will not shut out the lessons that they teach. Listen, if that had that impact on Ebenezer Scrooge, and it's just these spiritual visitations, how much more should the truth that God wants to be connected with you in a real, personal, powerful way, how much more should that impact you and change how we confront every single day and every single moment of every day, especially as we're moving into 2018, and we don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't. And so walking with that confidence that God is with me, I think it's essential. And so this morning, what I want us to do, I want you to just reflect with me a little bit. In your notes, I've given you several images. These images were actually drafted by a good friend of ours who was here for Christmas, John White, and they're hanging in my office. And let me give you a little backstory on them, because I'm going to have you try to identify where you are, and we're going to look at the Psalms. Every single one of them is built on a Psalm. but each one may be where you are now, or it may be where you need God to be in 2018. So that's really the question. Who do you need Jesus to be for you this next year? Who does Jesus need to be for you this next year as we're going into 2018? And so the story behind these is that John, when we met him, He's what, 32, 33 now? We met him, he was 15, and he was in our church in Seattle. And I remember his mother coming up to us and said, hey, if you ever need anybody to do any artwork, my Jonathan, he's the one who can do it for you. And so he and his mom and his little sister started attending church and with us. And then about 6 months later, his mom passed away. And his biological dad came and took his younger daughter, and he stayed with his stepfather. And that's by the time he was 16. So he stayed with his stepfather for 2 years, and it was not good. And when he turned 18, his stepfather basically said, I'm done with you. And John was on his own at that point. So that's where we kind of stepped in. We've always kind of been there, been kind of, he's like our adoptive parent, our adoptive son. We joke about that. But I remember having these long conversations with him, and always came back to the presence of God and understanding who is Jesus for you. And so in our conversations, he came up with these five images. And as you look at these images, there's two constants in each of the image. The one is that there's a young child or a young person. You know, he's projecting himself, but it's each one of us vicariously through that, where each one of us, Jesus says, you know, need to come before the Father as like a young child. Unless you can change, become like a young, one of these young kids, it's going to be hard for you to enter the kingdom of heaven. And the other constant is the mighty, strong hand of God. And so this morning, we're going to give you several images and kind of our interpretation of them from the Psalms. And I'm just going to ask you to kind of identify where are you or who do you need God, Jesus to be for you this year, all right? So that's kind of where we're going, because he wants to be with you. He wants you to know him. He wants you to depend on him. So if you have your notes, you can be looking at the image. I think I put the scripture in there for you. The first one is this image. It's a young boy kind of reaching up to the hand of God. That's what I call kind of, and in your notes, there's like, okay, Jesus is. This is for me, this is the, in talking with John, right, we've developed this, it's the daddy moment. You know, I'm talking about those of you who have young kids. And have you ever had your child walk up to you? Remember those of you who had kids when they were young? Have you ever had your kids walk up to you and just do this? Right? Anybody? Hands? Yeah. I remember Tyler. he'd always had just one word. Up! Up! Picking him up, you know. So it's this is like Jesus be near. The image here in our mind is just Jesus be near. Be near me. Some of you this morning, that may be your heart's cry. This may be the first time some of you have ever thought about seeking God. Maybe the first time in a long time you've thought about seeking God. Or some of you, you've felt very distant from God. And your heart is crying out. In fact, some of you may feel there's an emptiness right now. Or maybe there's just this lack of meaning in your life. Listen, I think that's intentional. God places that there so that we'll turn to him, so that we'll reach out to him and say, I need you. Be near me. The psalmists put it this way. They say this in Psalm 143:6, I spread out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like parched land. Parched land, you don't have to have any stretch of your imagination, right, to understand what parched land looks like. You just got to look around here right now, pretty dry. And how the land is just crying out, I'm thirsty. I need replenishing. I need renewal. Psalm 42 says this, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my what? Soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? Listen, maybe that is you today. And you're saying, God, I just need you to be close. I am so distant. I want more of you. I feel empty, I feel dry, I feel barren. Listen, let me give you a challenge and an encouragement. The challenge is this. If you're here and you're just checking God out or trying to get reconnected or whatever, let me encourage you and challenge you to take this searching seriously. Because if there is a God and he's real and he wants to be involved in your life, it's really imperative that you figure out who he is and pursue him and find him, all right? If you're in a relationship with him but you're feeling dry and you want more of him, let me encourage you, seek him. open up this book, the Bible, and read it. And ask him to speak to you. I would even say, as you're going into the new year, maybe what you need to do is just make that commitment in your own heart. I'm going to be here every single Sunday. Just making that commitment will change you. Just making the commitment to be here. Some of you are like, well, I'm here. Make a commitment to get connected with a few other people where you can be honest and real and pour out your heart, right, with. Seek. Be diligent. Because here's the encouragement. The Bible says this. This is Jeremiah. He says this. You will call upon me and you will come and pray to me and I will what? Listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with what? All your heart. Not a portion of it. All of it. And I will be found by you, declares the Lord. What a great promise. God is not interested in a game of cosmic hide and seek. He wants to be found by you. And on the authority of the Word of God, I will tell you, if you search for God and you seek God and you take a movement toward God, guess what? God is going to take a movement toward you. James 4:8, quickly. Come near to God and he will do what? Come near to you. James 4:8. So some of you, that may be you today. You're just here. It's like, I'm just reaching out. I need more of him. If that's you, just put a little circle around that picture. But maybe you did identify with that. Second image is this. Little kid kind of walking with the big pinky finger of God. Right? This is God, Jesus, in your notes. Lead me. Lead me. You know, we talk about this thing called the Christian walk. Have you ever heard anybody talk about their Christian walk? Anybody? This is what we're talking about. God, lead me, instruct me, teach me, guide me. Some of you, that's me where you be. Cold's got my head today. That might be where you are today, right? The psalmist says it this way. He says, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth. And teach me, for you are God, my Savior. And my hope is in you all day long. Just crying out, God, I need you to teach me, instruct me. I want you to lead me. I want you to guide me. some of you, that may be you. I just need you to guide me. I've got a decision. We got big decisions to make this year. And I need your leadership. I need your insight. If that's you, identify with it. But here's the other deal. Let me encourage you in two other things. Reading the Word of God is so essential, and we just say that flippantly. But listen, this is God's preserved word for you. And my challenge to you as your pastor is get into a reading plan and be consistent with it for this next year. We do the Life Journal reading plan around here because it just builds that community and that sense of continuity, and we can quiz one another and say, what did you get out of your reading today? We're going through Revelation, right? And it's like, oh, that was like, find a reading plan, be consistent with it. And here's my other challenge. Get a chair. Get someplace you enjoy being. And just spend like 20 minutes a day. 20 minutes a day with God in a place you really enjoy. And you'll be amazed how much God will begin to speak to you. When you seek him and search him and read his word, and you're asking him to lead you, guide you, and instruct you. But here's another challenge in this. Oswald Chambers wrote this, when we're seeking God, and some of us are like, well, I don't hear God. Maybe this is why. He says, when Jesus brings a thing home by his word, right, you've read it, it hits you, you're like, whoa, maybe I need to do something with this. He says, when Jesus brings a thing home by his word, don't shirk from it. If you do, you'll become a religious bah, humbug. Doesn't that sound like Scrooge? You'll become an Ebenezer Scrooge, right? You become a religious humbug. Watch the things you shrug your shoulders over, and you'll know why you do not go on spiritually. He continues, at the risk of being thought fanatical, you must obey what God tells you. This involves hundreds, if not thousands, of choices that you will make over the course of your life seeking to follow God's path. When you're reading God's word, you're asking him to lead you to do something, you better do it. If you have no intent of obeying him, you might as well just keep the book closed. Because God wants to speak to you, and he wants to guide you. And maybe some of you, that's what you need this next year. God's guiding and leadership in your life. And this might be you. You can just circle that, that one in your notes. Let's keep going. Scripture says this. I think there's one more verse in there. Yeah, Psalm 37, 23. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord will uphold him with his hand. It's one more, and I like this one, Psalm 18, 36. You provide a broad path beneath for my feet so that my ankles do not give way. Man, when you're walking with God and he's giving you the guidance and you're obeying him, he makes your path smooth and he makes you firm and you won't stumble and you won't fall. Whew, that's good. third image is this. It's kind of hard to get our mind around, but I know John was trying to get an idea of a kid doing a somersault in the hand of God. And I just love that thought, right? Just trust, fun, delighting in the presence of God, just kind of rolling around in God's presence, completely trusting who God is. I remember, well, let me put it this way. The longer you're a Christian, right, you've been around the block, the more skeptical you become, the more cynical you become. And long before you know it, nobody in this room, you guys are all filled with joy. But this is really Jesus, be my joy. This is the image. And some of you, that's who you need God to be for you. You need Jesus to be your joy again this year. Because I tell you, the longer you're a follower of Christ and the longer you live in this world, sometimes that smile turns upside down, right? And before you even know it, you're like this. And you just look sour. You know, I love Jesus. I got the joy of the Lord in my heart. You're like, really? Why don't you let your face know it, right? It's fun to be around people who first come to faith in Christ, because when they do, yeah, they make music like this. It's awesome. No, when you first come to faith in Christ, there's that simple beliefism. People just really trust God. They believe his word, and they're like, yeah, he says to do that. Yeah, let's do it. And I remember when I first met Cindy, who's my wife, I tell you, she's only been a Christian for just a couple, 3 years. And the energy and the excitement, because I was an old-time Christian at this point. I grew up in the church, all right? I came to Christ when I was like 6. So I'm like old-time Christian by the time I meet her, right? And no, seriously, my dad was like the music director. My mom played the piano and the organ, head of the Mission Society. I mean, and any time the church is open, I'm there, right? And it's just, after a while, you just kind of lose that trust factor and that joy factor. And it's like when you get around somebody's like, the Bible says that? Well, let's do it. Or let's just believe God. It's like, okay. And it's that kind of energy and that's excitement, right? To be around that, that's amazing. So there are a few times, even, you know, and I'm sure you've had these, where it's like you just get surprised by God's joy. It's just like, wow. You know, the birth of each one of my kids was like, really, God? I got an amazing wife. You've called us into ministry, and I get to be a daddy too? And it's like, wow. Frederick Buechner, his author, he says this about joy. He says, we never take credit for our moments of joy because we know that they're not man-made and that we're never really responsible for them. They come when they come. As he adds on, they're always sudden and quick and unrepeatable. The unspeakable joy of sometimes just being alive with the blue sky and the green grass and the faces of our friends and the waves of the ocean. Anybody identify with this? Of being suddenly well when before we were sick. Of being forgiven when before we were ashamed and afraid, and of finding ourselves loved when we were lost and alone. Isn't that good? Some of you, that may be your desire this year. God, I need your joy. Jesus, would you restore the joy? This is how the psalmist puts it. Psalm 30 says this, you turn my wailing into what? Into what? Dance. Woohoo! Yeah, get your boogie on. Turn my wailing, my crying into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with? I know it's the 31st and it's early in the morning, but man, you got your sackcloth removed and you're clothed with joy. It's like, yes, this is great. That my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever. Man, maybe God's been that way for you. And some of you, give him praise for that. Others of you, you need him to be that for you. Or how about Psalm 51, after David has sinned, and he's now praying to God. And he says in Psalm 51, 11 and 12, he says, "Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me." Maybe that's where some of you are today. God, I feel distant. I'm reaching out to you. Don't cast your Spirit away from me. Restore to me the what? The joy of your salvation. And uphold me by your generous Spirit. Maybe that's where you need to be. That's your heart this morning. Maybe you need to identify. Just circle that. You're wanting to roll around in the hand of God today, in this next year. Maybe that's your desire. Maybe that's where you want God to be for you this year. Fourth one, image. This is a little older child, right? But walking with God, holding the hand, got that fist up. And I think right here, you can't see it, really tiny. It's not really there. But right there, I just imagine the word, yes. Yes, with God we've been victorious. Jesus is my strength. And maybe that's who he needs to be for you this year. Some of you, he may have been that this last year. Jesus was your strength. With the help of Jesus in your life, you've been able to overcome this temptation that has just been plaguing you. Or some of you, with the power and the strength of Jesus in your life, you've been addressing a character flaw and you're seeing progress. And so you're like, yes. And some of you, that may be what you need for this next year. You need the strength of Jesus to be in your life. So you can go, yes. Or like the psalmist says in Psalm 18, psalmist says this, "With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall." Yeah, that's who I need God to be. Give me that strength. I'm not backing down. With God, we can take on anybody, everybody. We can scale the wall. He adds later, verse 32, 33, "It's God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of the deer. He enables me to stand on the heights." Wouldn't that be good? Man, to lift you up, to be stable, to be able to bounce around all over the high country with God. And then verse 35, "You make your saving help my shield, and your right hand sustains me. Your help has made me great." Maybe some of you, that's who you need God to be, just to be your strength today. Of those four, just circle. And some of you are here and you're like, none of those. None of those appeal to me. None of those are where I need God to be. And so we got one more image. But before I show this image and we talk about it, I'm going to show this video clip. All right? So bear with me. Some of you have seen this clip. But let's go ahead and roll this clip. How many of you need tissue? Oh, man. Here's the fifth image, right? It's some of you may identify with what just happened there. There has been a storm in your life. There has been bad news in your life. Maybe somebody you loved has passed away, or maybe somebody you love is on the brink of passing away. And you're just wishing, man, I wish I could go back to the way it was before the storm. Before the financial collapse, before the divorce, before the miscarriage, before whatever it is for you. And right now you're just like, I'm overwhelmed. I'm alone and I'm overwhelmed and I don't know how we can move forward. Maybe this fifth image may be for you. The fifth image is this. The fifth image is of this little child just curled up, knees to the chest, sitting in the hand of God. And the image here is, Jesus, just be my refuge. Jesus, be my refuge. Psalmist puts it this way, says this, "Be merciful to me, Lord, for I'm in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and body with grief. My life is consumed with anguish and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction." And the psalmist uses so many ways to describe how God can be your refuge. He uses things like strong fortress, a mighty tower, refuge, sanctuary, that place where you can withdraw and be covered and loved on by God. But there's another image, the image of a mother hen the 91st Psalm. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. Verse 14 and 15 adds this, because he loves me, declares the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him, and I will honor him. Some of you, you need God to be your refuge. Listen, there was a time, in fact, I was thinking about this last night. This March, it's going to be like 17 or 18 years since our eldest daughter, Katie, she was having these massive headaches when she was a young child, and they would just debilitating. I mean, it would drop her down, and she was getting sick, and it was just not a pretty sight. So we took her to the hospital one Sunday after church. Anybody could figure this out. Be the hospital, right? So we take her in there, and they admit you, and we're sitting there, and it's like we're there for like 6 hours before we finally get to see a doctor. And then they do some tests, and they take her up and have her do a CAT scan. And then we're back down, and we're waiting. And it's been all day. And by this time, we're kind of getting a little agitated, and we're really hungry. And so I remember leaving to go get something to eat because we haven't eaten all day. And when I come back in, it's like, okay, where'd my wife go? And where's Katie? And I remember the nurses said, oh, you must be the father. And I'm thinking, oh, this isn't good. And they said, follow me. And I walked with the nurse, and they opened the door, and we walked into this room, and there's Cindy. And the nurse took Katie and walked out, and Cindy wasn't alone. There were two other nurses. There was a chaplain. There was the head of the social services. There was the doctor who was on charge of ER that night and an oncologist. And they said, we got some serious news to tell you. Your daughter has a brain tumor that is exploding her left cerebellum. It's invading her cerebrum, and it's wrapping itself around her brainstem. If you have any family, you need to get them here as soon as possible. We need to admit her, and we need to do surgery. And I'm like, the reality, right? You start to cry. And it's like, Lord, really? Right now? And it was just knocking the wind out of us. How do you deal with stuff like that? I cry out to my God in my distress, and in my anguish, he hears me. He will shelter you under his mighty right hand. There's another image we read, went to the chapel, and we're reading in Isaiah. And there's a couple images that stood out in Isaiah. Maybe this speaks to you. A bruised reed God will not allow to be completely broken. At that point, it's like, man, we're starting this church. It's just starting to come together. And this, there's a lot of weight on all of our shoulders. It felt like we were bruised, ready to be broken. And we read this, and it says, God's not going to let you be broken. And then there's a second image. A smoldering wick, he will not snuff out. A smoldering wick, a candle, you know, barely has any flame. It doesn't take much for that to go out, does it? And it's out. But God says, I'm going to shelter that. I'm going to protect that. A smoldering wick, a dimly lit candle, I am not going to allow to be snuffed out. And we read in Psalm 56, you've kept track of every toss and turn through the sleepless nights. Each tear has been entered into your ledger. Each ache has been written into your book. And the idea is that God is so intimately involved with you, he knows every tear that you're crying. And every single tear that falls from your cheek matters to him. He's collecting each one. So how do you make it through when life seems to be unfair? You run to God. You say, God, be my refuge. And the cool thing when you read through Scripture is there's no time limit on this refuge. You can stay there as long as you need, because God wants to restore you, and he wants to bring healing to you. And there will be a day where it's time to get out and walk back out, but when you do, you're going to walk out with a stronger sense of conviction and trust in the mighty right hand of God. So my question for all of us this morning is, who does Jesus need to be for you as we move into 2018? Which of those five images do you identify with? Or which one of the five images are you needing to ask God to become for you as we move into 2018? going to put all five of those images back up there. Let's go ahead and put them up there. Well, maybe not. They just disappeared. Well, we got two of them. Boom. Hey, they all came up. That was weird. Maybe this is you. If you're feeling overwhelmed in life, instead of running from God, maybe you need to run to him and say, God, would you be my refuge? Because God is there and he's saying, you know what? I want you to come to me. I want you to bring everything. Bring your frustration. Bring your anger. Bring your disgust. Bring your confusion. And I want you to unload that on me because I want to be your refuge. I know where you are. I know what you're going through. Don't run from me. Run to me. Let me be the refuge. Some of you, it may be, yes, Lord, be my strength. I've experienced your strength in the past. I need it again. And I want to raise my fist in celebration and say, yes, together, God, we have done this. We have overcome. We have triumphed. Maybe that's where you need to be. Maybe it's that sense of just trust and joyful playing around in the hand of God and just experiencing his joy. Or maybe for you, it's like, Lord, you're leading me. I need to know you. I want you to lead me well. I need your guidance this year. Maybe some of you are here and you're just like, that's it. I'm just reaching out. I'm empty. I'm dry. I don't even know if you're real, but I want to reach out toward you. Maybe that's you. Which one of the five is you this year? Where is your heart? Which one of these psalms speaks to you? Who do you need Jesus to be for you? I have the worship team come up here. And as they come up and we're going to sing this song, I want you to turn where you're seated into just a little altar with God. And you let him know, God, I need this. This is what I am desiring from you. And it's okay. Let him know these things. You don't have to get everything cleaned up. He just says, come. But I will tell you this. If you're here and you're not a follower of Jesus and you've never entered in that relationship with Jesus, all of those images, they're going to lose their punch. There will be no power for you. If you're outside of a relationship with Jesus, the image maybe for you would just be you standing there by yourself, all alone, left to your own device, left to your own cunning, left to your own resource. But God wants to be for you. He wants to reveal himself. He wants to walk with you. God is with us. Maybe God is in this place, and I knew it not, because he's here. So as the team sings this song, you pray. Just close your eyes, bow your head, and just be honest before the Lord. Say, Lord, this is what I need. This is what I need.